How about now? All right, well, you can see from our stage setup today that we have a bit of a unique Sunday. We've been doing a series of messages with you for the last 5 weeks on the theme of the way of peace. In 2 Thessalonians 3:16, in Paul's closing remarks, he spoke this blessing. And he said, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation." Well, how many of you feel like you've gotten better over the last 5 weeks of finding peace in every situation? Are we winning this battle at all? I had an extremely stressful week. I was on holidays in Waskasoo, Saskatchewan, in a golf tournament. And every day I just kept winning and winning and winning. And the pressure was just growing and growing. And so I was like, "Lord, as I'm walking those fairways, give me peace." Oh, shoot, is this a plaque? I thought that was my... But this was my clipboard. Of all the average golfers in this tournament, I was the second best in the fourth flight. Came home with a tree. My caddy, Ron Swan, was there in the rain on Saturday morning. It was pouring rain, holding the umbrella over my head, drying my clubs, buying me tarts at the turn. It was fun. But because I was there, I didn't know when I was supposed to come up on the stage this morning. So anyways, there's a key phrase. I'm going to invite our panel to come up. Now, we have four people that are going to come up and share with us this morning. So panel, you can come up. But as they're coming, I just want to go back to that phrase. May the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times in every situation. You know, one of the key phrases there is the Lord of peace. We can have peace because our God is the boss of peace. No one does peace like Jesus. He's the Lord of peace. And that promise to have peace at all times in every situation is a real one. And so we've been on this journey. Lord, how do we live in that reality? If you're the God of peace, how can we have peace in every situation? And we've heard from our usual speakers. Anatoly and Jason have given some great messages. Anatoly had a great message last week. I listened to it online. I've done my best to give you my three best preaches on this topic. And I think it's all been great. But we thought to end this morning, it would be great to have a panel of experts from our own congregation who are fighting their own battles and trying to win the war of peace and just see what's going on in their lives and maybe what we can learn from them. So I have some questions that I'm going to ask them in a bit of a discussion this morning. And my hope is that by the time we leave today, we'll have a few extra nuggets as we end this series. So welcome you guys to the stage. I'll just put my plaque here. Maybe I could put it out there on the Father's Day, you know, things you could hold for your pictures. Can we begin? Dave, I'll just start with you. If you guys could just introduce yourselves this morning, maybe just tell us who you are, how long you've been in the church, and some of the things that you do around here or have done.
Okay, I'm David Wojcik, husband of a beautiful wife, Donna. Where is she? She's over there. I'm embarrassing her on purpose. We started attending here in 1995, actually. So it's, you know, shortly after the Ark landed, I guess. So about 30-odd years. I've been in lots of different volunteer positions here. I was on the board of directors for a number of years. Part of the parents group for the school. I think we initiated that. prayer ministry team, prophetic leadership team, forgetting all these things, but currently Dawn and I lead the grief share program.
Okay.
Along with Debbie and others, and we have helpers like Patty and Dale and Dave and Janice Cantlebury are also part of that. So
you've done a lot, Dave.
Oh yeah, well, lots to go yet.
Augustine, tell us about yourself.
Thank you very much. My name is Augustine Ayo. Married to my beautiful wife. She's not here this morning yet. She comes for the second service. Tosin Ayo. We've got three beautiful girls and a son. And we've been part of Harvest since for the past 3 years. And we came in just visiting, and we loved it here. And I have been grounded, and it's been a great opportunity to serve. So I lead, I play in the worship team. I lead in the worship team as well as lead some a live group in the South Regina. Yeah, that's what we do.
And you were a former pastor before you moved here.
Oh yes, so we did pastor a number of churches for the past about 20 years. But the last one we pastored was for a good 17 years. We pastored a church in Pretoria, South Africa, where we were.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Dan, tell us about yourself.
We've been part of this church for 46 years. Doug and I were on the eldership team for over 30 of them. I was involved with the healing rooms and did some counseling among just volunteering for whatever.
Thanks. Deb?
I'm Deborah Lachance, and I have been in this church since I was 10 years old. So, yes.
So, 30 years?
Yeah. 20. 40. I've been on the pastoral staff for 15 years now. Started out as worship pastor and dabbling in some of the inner healing stuff. And then when Andrew came, I moved on to focusing mainly on the healing ministries at Harvest City Church. So,
okay. So these are high-quality individuals who've lived some life. And I know you have some great things to share with us this morning. I'm going to begin with you, Augustine. This is our sixth Sunday in this series on the Way of Peace. And I'm wondering, over the course of the 5 weeks, has there been a scripture or just a reminder that you would say, you know, that's been especially meaningful to me?
Absolutely. So, Pastor Joel, I'm not sure where to start, but because every Sunday had been truly, truly a blessing personally to me and to our family. And so thinking about which reminders to bring, I had a tough choice of having to choose from. But I think John 14, verse 1, that scripture I think Pastor Jason preached about, it says, do not let your heart be troubled. Mm. That was, for me, like a sharp arrow that stuck in my heart for days and weeks. Do not let your heart be troubled. It doesn't matter what it is you're facing. Don't let your heart be troubled. And then the other reminders that I thought to also share is the fact that you preached, I think, in the Foundations of Peace about surrendering to God. Mm-hmm. And also in the Battles of Peace, there's another similar line around surrender and yielding to God. It's a fight to let go and withdraw. I thought that was powerful because, you know, and I thought to actually quote you verbatim, it's a peace follows surrender to God. Okay, that's not the one. Peace is not about fighting harder, but it's by surrendering faster. Mm. I thought that was powerful. You know, it was that the quicker you surrender, the greater the peace you will experience. I thought that was great. Yeah.
Mm. I wish I came up with that myself. I found it in my research. Yeah. Well, that's great. That's awesome. Deb, you know, in one of the messages, I talked about how we have an enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I think one of the main tactics of the enemy is actually to steal the peace that God has for us. And so I'm wondering if just from your own experiences, you know, what have you seen as some of the greatest threats or strategies of the enemy to disrupt the people of God from having the peace of God that he has for his people?
I think for myself and for many of the people that I've met with over the years in healing ministries, relationships are one of the biggest areas where our peace gets stolen. Mm. And whether it be our relationship in our own minds with ourselves and the battle between the ears, or whether it be with God, feeling distance from him, feeling shame in his presence instead of peace, and all the turmoil that comes with feeling that he may have abandoned us. And there's so many things in our relationship with God that the enemy wants to attack to cause distance. And I think, lastly, relationships with each other. We know that they're fraught with division these days. They're fraught with all sorts of atrocities that should never happen between us as humans. And in my own story, there was abuse growing up. And, you know, in relationally, some of those foundations early on in our lives can set us up for a lot of anxiety and lack of peace and hypervigilance. And we've all got stories where we've been betrayed by people, or we've been misused by people, or disappointed. Mm-hmm. There's not a human in this room that probably hasn't experienced that.
So I think relationships would be one of the main ways. If the enemy can divide us,
yeah,
we're all isolated and we're a prey for the enemy. So I would say one of the things that I've learned is that we've got to work through it. We've got to process those things in our relationships that are holding us back, and not just get busy and anesthetize it or find a way to get around it, but to actually face it. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, right, I will fear no evil because he is with me. He's in us. He's in us and he's with us as we process those things. If we process suffering, and Dave Wells will often say, if you have relationships, you will suffer. So encouraging. But if we process suffering, it can actually bring greater intimacy and peace. I have walked away with greater intimacy and peace as I have processed my pain.
So from your experience, Deb, because you've counseled with a lot of people, you've walked your own journey, would you say that you've seen people suffering with a lack of peace because of a refusal to really walk through to really face?
Absolutely. I think we struggle with denial. We struggle with minimizing. We struggle with pushing away the hard stuff, thinking that we'll never survive it, or it will pull us into a black hole that we'll never get out of. But that's the voice of the enemy. The voice of Jesus is that I will pull you out of the pit. And if we rely on him, if we turn to him, if we allow others to be with us in it, we will rise above whatever the enemy has thrown our way.
Okay. Dave, do you have any thoughts to add to that?
Yeah, in addition to what Deb's already said, which I agree with 100%, the enemy's a master strategist, but his tools are... he uses over and over again. And if he can do anything to distract us, take our eyes off of Jesus, then what happens is we're turning away from peace to whatever else he lays on the table. So, for example, in our current culture, busyness is one of the things somehow we have to achieve. We need to strive for something. You know, we believe that our kids need to be in this, and this, plus this, and this. You know, I mean, that's just one example. Or that I need to have this particular position, which will consume, you know, 60, 70, 80 hours a week. whatever. But and if that's what God is calling you to, that's fine, because he'll give you the grace. But it just seems like busyness, discouragement, all those tactics. What are some of the other ones? Discontentment. You know, I'm not satisfied with where I'm at, therefore I need to put in more time, energy, effort into something else. But it takes my eyes off of him. And once my eyes are off of him, then I'm kind of like putty in the enemy's hands. You know, he can manipulate and create division, as Debbie's been talking about, steal hope. Anyway, that's two cents.
Thanks, Dave. Dan, I'll turn to you here, and I'm wondering if you could just talk to us for a couple minutes about some of the biggest battles. I know you're currently in a battle. You've fought some battles to maintain peace, and so how do you fight these battles? I can say, from somebody who's grown up in this church, I'm always amazed at how you handle the curveballs of life. So when I think of this question, I want to know how you do this, Dan, because you've walked through some hard stuff. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, yes. I would say that my biggest battle has been my battle with cancer over the past 30 years. This is my third time round. When I first was diagnosed, I was 39 years old. And in that experience, the Lord showed me some really good tools to hold on to my peace. The first thing that I had to do was acknowledge that I was not in control. I was never in control, but God knows that we can try and be in control and handle it ourselves, or we can surrender control and give it to him. And that includes casting your cares on God and leaving them with him. But also, it's important that I could, I did have control over some things. My attitude. And the Bible talks about in everything give thanks. And even when you're in the depths of despair, there are things to be thankful for. Like in my situation, I was like clean sheets, a roof over my head, hot running water. I had a doctor. There's, a lot of people in this world don't have that. And I genuinely was grateful for that. And it builds you up when you realize that you're blessed. Rather than, what don't I have? I'm going through all of this. And that downward spiral that sucks the life out of you, literally. I had an opportunity to, the period between having a test and waiting to see the results of that test, that can be a really difficult time when you're in the middle of something. And it doesn't have to be a test or anything, just the unknown. The Lord showed me that it is not denial if you don't know to think the worst. It's not denial. It's what you need to do is think the best. And then during that time of waiting, you can actually enjoy yourself. You can have fun. Just think the best. And if the result is bad, well, then now you have to deal with it. And one of the tools that the enemy used for sure was fear. Fear of death, fear of the unknown. And one thing I did not do, and that I know does not work, is arguing with the enemy. You don't say, no, I'm not going to die. Well, you might. You'll lose that battle. You don't know about that. So what I did was I'd stare it down. What's the worst that could happen? Well, the worst that could happen is I do die. Well, what'll Doug ever do without me? I had kids at home. Well, God would have a problem. he'd have to cover them. He'd have to lead them. He'd have to provide for them. That's his problem. And what would happen to me? Well, I'd be in eternity with the lover of my soul, a place where anybody that has had a glimpse of doesn't want to come back. It's a win-win situation here. And so when the enemy would come at me and taunt me, I'd just say, what's your point? It's a win-win. Whether I live for the Lord, and whether I die, I'll be with the Lord. So back off. And it works. It really does work. Those are the tools I've used throughout, and I'm using them today. The hard part is to rest in God. You know, we cast our cares, but then we have to leave them there at the altar. And then receive the peace that he gives us and not feel bad about it and not feel like somehow you're getting out of something. This is how he wants us to live. He wants us to enjoy life. And it's like you're kicking the enemy every time you do enjoy your life when you're in the middle of it. So,
can I ask you this? Because this is like round three.
Yeah.
And you've won some major battles. I mean, you're here. You shouldn't be here.
That's right. I got to see my kids get married. I know my grandbabies up here singing this morning. Yeah.
But is there a part when it's like, this is round three, this isn't fair? I fought these battles, I won, now I got to fight them again? Like, is that a different level of discouragement, or are you better at it now because you've done it before? Or?
Yeah, like I'm so used to doing this that it's old hat. And you know what? Like, we got to go somehow, right? That's what I was thinking this time around. I'm like, well, I beat the system, so it's all cream, and I'm enjoying life. The only thing I did different this time was, we took that holiday. Then I did the chemo.
Okay. Awesome. You're an inspiration, Di. Anyone else want to answer that question?
I think there's just so much power in hearing someone else's story. Like, I remember when Di got her first diagnosis, mm-hmm. and you were 39. I don't know how old I was, but I was younger. And she was living my nightmare, right? And I watched her, how she handled it, and I remember her saying that in the bathroom to me at some something we were at some conference. And I'm like, how are you doing this? You know? She's like, I win both ways. And, you know, just 2 years ago, less than 2 years ago, I was in the hospital in Calgary having had surgery on my heart. Didn't go well. And I remembered Di's words. You know, I didn't know if I was going to make it in some moments. And I remembered her words. Either way, I win.
Just one other thing I'd like to add. We're not in the fight alone. You know, we have, besides Jesus walking through the valley with us, we also have individuals that are praying for us. We have the corporate family that's praying for us as well. So that, I mean, the battles that we've been through, you can actually feel the prayers of the saints. So just an encouragement to others to pray for those that are going through it. I mean, that's why he's brought the body together. So
you need a caddy holding the umbrella in the rain.
Yeah. You know, Pastor Joe, I wanted to add to, you know, just hearing these personal stories just brings to light something that I believe the enemy wants to do every time we're in a battle with him. He wants our heart. That's what he wants. You know, he doesn't care about our jobs or our health or our car or our house. He wants the heart. You know, the scripture says that guard your heart with all diligence. It's for out of it Everything you do comes from it, you know, in Proverbs 4:23. And that, I believe, is what the enemy wants, because he knows if he gets your heart, he's got in you, you know, whether it's like whatever trials and challenges you're going through in life, it's about your heart. You know, recently I found myself unemployed, you know, and this is, I say I found myself unemployed because I think for the past 24, 25 years, this is the first time I've had more than 1 month, not of self-imposed sabbatical, that I've not been with a job. You know, it was difficult, it was different. I felt like I can't do this. I kept thinking about it. In fact, one time I had more than one job, you know, trying to sink between two jobs and stuff like that. But I had those challenges, and I knew that the enemy was kind of taking my peace away. I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm having like real heart pangs about how am I going to do this? How is my family going to feed? And the bills keep piling up, you know, kind of like just kept imagining how downhill life can go with all of that. I started thinking about all the insurances I should have taken, you know, all those, you know, all those things. But I realized that God kept encouraging me. That's why I believe that this series of peace was almost like it was targeted to me, because I was in the middle of that. And so I had to fight to be able to just stay afloat, you know. And when you preached about that, those Pepsi bandits, you know, about Pastor Jason's Pepsi not being ring-fenced, I thought that you were speaking to me, because one of the things I learned from that was that you need to guard your heart. You need to put fences around you, because that's what the enemy wants. And so I learned through that challenge to be able to just let go and just enjoy the moment. You know, and like Diane said, you just need to enjoy the moment. Don't feel really pressured at the moment. I found that maybe I actually needed the rest, you know, because I started sleeping so much. In fact, one time I told my wife, I said, I think my challenge would be how to adapt to not sleeping enough when I start working. But through it, I felt God told me that, look, I've got this. Just go rest. You are in my heart. I have a plan for you. I didn't bring you this far to be able to let you down. And awesome. I got that encouragement and had peace. Great. Yeah, so I did all the things I'd always wanted to do, like waking up, making lunch for my daughters going to school, you know. They don't ask me for lunch anymore, but these days I try to make them special lunches, you know, all kinds of things. I enjoy the moment, and I had this idea of something I wanted to do. I invested my time in it. I enjoyed the moment of being unemployed. So everyone asks me, so how are you doing? I said, look, I'm just enjoying the moment right now, and I'm putting my energies to something positive, and it worked. Yeah.
Okay. Sure, your wife doesn't want you to enjoy it too much.
So. Indeed.
So protect your heart. I like that. The enemy wants your heart more than anything, which ironically, God wants our heart more than anything, right? It's a fight for the heart. Deb, there's this well-known sentence that's often called the serenity prayer that goes like this: God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Can you just share a past or present experience that connects to that prayer?
I think it's a prayer that I've often prayed in trying to discern. I think one of the biggest battles is wrestling with what's the wisdom to know the difference? How do I find that wisdom? And how do I know what to do? And that can cause a lot of anxiety sometimes in our decision making, and then the whole acceptance of our journey and where we're at. And you know, I've had to work on acceptance the past 2 years as I've been off on medical leave and not always seeing the gains that I need to see in order to come back to work and be fruitful. And so it's been acceptance while holding faith that our God can do anything. And One of the moments of acceptance that comes to mind is when I was in the hospital in Calgary and a few days after my surgery, and I was really, really struggling. I had so much pain, and they couldn't get it under control. Morphine didn't work. There were, you know, it was a rough go, and then things took a turn to get even worse. I was sent for x-rays one night, and they found out I had pneumonia. So I remember, you know, in the dark, the nurses coming in with their flashlights, hooking me up to antibiotics and, you know, saying your things on your heart monitor don't look good. And, you know, it was just this moment of panic inside, like, what's happening? And this feeling of there's so many people praying. Yeah. And so why is this happening? You know, and the enemy comes in those moments. And one of the things he's used on me many times through my life is your God has abandoned you. Mm. You know, and so in that moment, in the darkness, alone, there was this voice that said, where is your God? Where is your God? And I remember, you know, in that moment just saying, have you left me? You know, I remember saying that out loud. Have you left me? And it wasn't very long until there was this warmth that came over me, and it was like there was this pressure beside me on the bed, like somebody was sitting beside me, and I could feel someone holding my hand. And I felt like Jesus said to me, I'm with you, and we'll do this together. Mm-hmm. And so there was this acceptance that had to come that my circumstances weren't changing. The pain didn't go away. But his withness in that moment, it changed everything for me. And in any moments moving forward, which ended up to be weeks there, there was always this place I could go back to. Like Jason mentioned in his message, the impartation of peace, the experience of peace. Having the head knowledge is not enough. We have to have this embodied experience of the peace of God, and we can move toward it, we can pursue it, we can ask, and he will come through for us. Mm-hmm. I think so often we just try to distract ourselves, or we end with that thought that he's forsaken me, period, without honestly pursuing him and saying, I need you to show me where you are in this story. And so my peace changed where it wasn't dependent on an outcome. It was dependent on his presence. And I've had to hold on to that. My peace cannot be dependent on the outcome. It has to be dependent on his presence and the fact that he's with me. He's a God who's with me and in me.
Awesome. We're nearing the end here, but I just have a couple more questions. Dave, I'll throw this one to you. It's Father's Day today. You're a father. God is a father. And of course, in Christ, we're made sons and daughters of God. So I just wondered if you could just talk for a sec about how knowing God as a father, how that has impacted your ability to walk in the way of peace.
Yeah, yes, I do. Well, many of you would know that we lost a daughter about 10 years ago. I was diagnosed with cancer and a two-year battle with that, and then she went to be with Jesus. But during that time, I remember numerous conversations with the Lord, and one in particular time. I was, you know, as a father and as a husband, I'm just watching, you know, my poor wife. She's just going through it. Joel, I'm starting to act like you, for heaven's sakes. and I'm watching my own children and son-in-laws and her husband just going through it, and that additional weight and pain. So I was just talking to the Lord about that. I said, Lord, it just hurts so much. It just hurts. It just doesn't seem right. And, you know, it's such a deep, tearing pain. And I heard God respond to me as the Father. One Father to another Father. I mean, he's father, I'm father, but one father to another, and he says, I understand, you know, I lost a son. And I mean, I'm trying to speak it, but it's different feeling his voice inside of you just reverberating, and I knew that he understood, you know. I knew, and the interesting thing is, I mean, here I am in the presence of peace, and I just felt such peace, but there was lots of pain still. So I'm just so grateful that I serve a father, and a father that understands.
Right.
You know, he's been through it too. So that's my two cents.
Wow, Dave. Thank you. A final question that maybe a couple, I'll just throw it out to the panel, if a couple of you could answer this in closing. To anyone in the room this morning who's wondering how to maintain that untroubled heart in a troubled world, any final pieces of advice or counsel that you would offer to us this morning?
Let me start with that. I think the biggest thing is Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you." You know, he wants to give you peace. It's not that he wants you to work for it. It's not that he wants you to struggle for it. He is the Prince of Peace. And he said, I give it to you. And I think it's our own role is to receive it. You know, like you talk about that surrender, the quicker you surrender, the faster the peace will reach you. And I've had to learn that personally, in fact, that every time I'm struggling with something, he gets to that point where he says, look, you just need to let it go. You know, that Sunday, I was struggling with something. And when you mentioned that fight to let it go and withdraw, it was like a burden was that was strapped on my back was just removed. Just let it go. Because when you let it go, then you receive his peace. And you can receive his peace. His peace is for you. And he is the Prince of Peace. So just let it go and receive his peace today.
Diane?
Wanted to share this scripture. It goes along with what you were saying, but Philippians 4, 6, 7, and 8 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and mind. And this is the second part of this scripture. It's the very next verse. It's kind of like he's telling us how to do it. Think on these things. Whatsoever things are true, just, pure, lovely, or of a good report, if there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. And I kind of interpret that as look on the upside. There's an upside to everything. And then focus on that.
Did you have something?
I would say pursue peace. We have to pursue it. And oftentimes we pursue the counterfeit of peace. Something that will give us immediate gratification or immediate numbing. How many of us numb out somehow? Instead of pursuing real peace. And practically, how do we pursue real peace? I think we need to focus on his promises. I think we need to pursue his presence. Take every opportunity. If you feel God tugging at your heart and you're at a service and there's an altar call, move toward it. Go up. some of those moments can be these life-changing moments that we have to hang on to in times, you know, moving forward in our life, where we have this experience of God that begins to change our view of Him, breathing Him in, being out in nature, His creation, the beauty of His creation, can often ground us and connect us to His peace. Just pausing in the busyness and taking a micro moment of pausing and saying, God, I need you in this moment. I read this week, there was some research talking about peace and intimacy and relationships, and it said this: when we combine the explicit knowledge, the things that we know in our head about God's love, with the implicit relational knowledge, the embodied emotional experience of God's love, we are much more likely to experience peace and have resilience in times of trouble and suffering. It's both and. It's our head knowledge and our experience of God's peace and His love and His provision that changes the game, I believe.
Awesome. Great job, panel. Did well, really well. Why don't we all stand to our feet together? Pastor Augustine. Once a pastor, always a pastor, my friend. I'd love for you to just close us in prayer this morning.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you today. Lord, standing here, we realize that you are our Father. And more than anything, you care for us. You love us with an unconditional love. And when you see us hurting, troubled, restless, worried, anxious, when you see us in pain, your heart is willing and wanting to just heal us. And so, Lord, today we just ask you, in every way where we have lost peace, where our peace have been taken away, your word says that you spoke peace to those that were afar off and peace to those that were near. Right now, Lord, let your peace speak right now into our hearts in the name of Jesus. Lord, I speak right now against every intention of the enemy to steal our heart, to capture it and make it troubled. Lord, I release your power, the power of the Prince of Peace, right now into those hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. I ask that, Lord, you will grant us the courage to surrender to your will, not to strive with you, but to surrender, to know that your desire for us is to let go so that you can sweep in and do what only you can do. Help us to lift our eyes to you and surrender to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, for everyone hurting right now, I ask that, Lord, you will comfort them. You will console their heart with your peace. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Augustine. Well, thanks again, panel. Really appreciate your vulnerability with us. Very helpful to just know people are going through similar journeys with us. Before you leave, just remember there is a photo booth out there. If you want to get a photo with your dad, we got a photo booth out there. If you need prayer, can I be so bold to say, if you would like one of the members of our panel to pray with you this morning, maybe something they shared resonates with you, and I believe in an impartation as well. And so the altar is always open for prayer. Bless you guys.
Well, that brings us to the end of our time together. We hope that you found insight and had moments that spoke to you right where you needed it. Before you go, share the love and post this inspiring video to your page. Who knows how many lives could be impacted by it? And if you aren't already, like, follow, and turn on your social media notifications to keep up to date on all the exciting things happening at our church. Here at Harvest City, we're all about connecting with our community and celebrating those big moments. Like if you've recently decided to fully dedicate your life to Jesus, we'll be your cheerleaders and help you take those first steps. And if you're going through a tough season, let us know how we can help you. Plus, we've got tons of programs for kids, youth, and adults if you're looking for a new community to be part of. To send us a message or check out more about HCC, head over to our website, harvestcity.ca. To all of our financial partners, thank you for investing into the kingdom of God. Your generosity allows us to keep doing what we're called to do and reach even more people. If you're interested in contributing, please visit harvestcity.ca/giving for more info. Thanks for being here. Keep living your call, and we'll catch you again soon.